How are you guys doing? This is Martin from Gardens for Life in Birdland Homestead. This is our 16th edition, I believe it is. So it's been 4 months of the questions and answers sessions, but it's also a live chat as well. You guys can decide what to talk about. So it's all based on the audience. I want to give the audience a chance to interact. Hang on, there's a piece of dust on the lens. That's better. I'm here in the wonderful Birdland studio. So we'll just hang on in there for a while, just for people to join. And hopefully you guys can hear me okay. For those of you watching this afterwards, all of the other older episodes are actually available on our YouTube channel, our Odyssey channel, and our website as well. And if you'd like to follow up on those episodes, you can avail of them there anytime you want to. Oh, just adjusting the camera here. So yesterday we were actually at given a talk at a gardening club in Northern County Longford in Ochnacliff. And the people there were really lovely. We had already met some of them previously. Some of them already were watching the videos of Gardens for Life before. And we were really grateful to be there. And it was a lovely evening. And we were talking about gardening and no-dig and forest gardening, how to propagate plants, how to avoid slug damage, or how to reduce slug pressure as well. And we were talking about all the different plants as well. So it was really interesting, and I did like actually enjoy that. If you guys have any questions for me, please let me know. Please type the word question in all caps and at the beginning of your question, just so I know it's directed towards me. Again, if you guys have any questions about gardening or homesteading or anything related, please let me know. And I'll try to answer them in our context. We are basically, we've been working on our properties for years now, and it's all just kind of a amalgamation or lots of little pieces were inspired by different people around the world. And a lot of those people, I mentioned the names oftentimes, and people often ask how to spell them. Like Mark Shepherd, Sepp Holzer, Bill Mollison, all different kinds of names. And we have a list of those. And I'll just give you that here. So you can, how are you doing? You can just go to our website and just put it in the chat. So this is our website. And you can just type in the search Inspire and you'll get the article on the list of people that have inspired us. And basically we took all the bits and pieces from all the most inspiring people around the world and made it our life and our businesses and our gardens and the homestead too. So there was definitely some homesteaders in it as well. So let me see here. I have a question here about what vegetables you can still plant now. Well, I like to say to people, I'm no expert on vegetable growing per se. Like market gardeners be very good at that. That's what they really tune into. But I prefer kind of planting perennial vegetables because, well, for a start, you don't have to buy seeds every year. I don't mind actually buying the seeds though, but perennial vegetables are just less work and you're also building on last year's root system, and you keep building, basically making the plant more and more productive after every growing season, rather than starting off again from scratch. Like when you're starting plants from seed, you are basically starting off from a bitty little tiny little seed, whereas if you plant perennials next year, those are going to be already fairly substantial and they will have gathered a lot of energy already. So in general, any time of the year, but this time of year, I would probably plant vegetables you can still plant some of the vegetables that are going to be harvested during the winter, like all of the kales, probably broccoli as well, and Brussels sprouts and that kind of thing. So basically brassicas. One of those things that we grow is actually a wildflower called marsh woundwort, and the roots actually can also be harvested in the winter time, any time of the winter. And if you leave them in the ground, you can they'll just grow again, same as Jerusalem artichokes, but they're in the mint family, and the marsh woundwort is actually a native wildflower, and the roots are edible. So we have spread that very successfully in our garden, and it has certainly enjoyed its stay so far. And it makes these lovely purple flowers just around this time of year. So you wouldn't be harvesting the roots though, only in the winter time, same as Chinese artichokes. So folks, could anyone tell me if you can hear me okay? Is the sound all right? Is it loud enough? And I know I can see myself all right, but I wonder, is the sound okay? Normally it's fine and I can see an indication of it in the settings, which I have done, but I'd like to make sure of it. So let me see here. So some of those things that I wouldn't be sowing anymore now is basically all the plants that need a long maturation period, or like pumpkins, for example, maybe potatoes, probably not anymore. I would also suggest planting courgettes. It's probably too late for them. But if we're only 1 month into the frost-free zone at this point, so it's not too bad. I think oshikikuri and courgettes you might be able to get away with. Oshikikuri is just a pumpkin that takes 90 days to ripen from starting them from seed. But this time of year, really, ideally, you want some leafy greens. That's what you want to grow. And the kind of ones that actually are frost hardy are, generally speaking, kale. And we have lots of those, lots of different types of varieties. We actually prefer perennial kales because, again, you don't need seed. You can just start off with cuttings. And a cutting, there's a lot more oomph in a cutting than there is in a seed because it's bigger. And then as soon as it roots, it has access to the nutrients in the soil. So let me just see here. All right. Thank you for letting me know about that. The sound is good. Oh, we normally do these questions and answer sessions and a live chat on Thursday evenings. So I did let people on the email list know anyway, and I created it 2 days ago just to let people know that it is on a Friday today. So if we don't get very many people, that's okay. I don't mind, but we may cut it short if there isn't very many questions. I did get some questions yesterday, all right, but we'll see how we get. We'll see how we go if we have more people joining yet. For those of you watching this afterwards, I want to make sure that it's also full of useful information for you. Hopefully, you can learn from our mistakes, but also from our successes. And by God, we have many, many of both in our gardens. Luckily, thankfully, the old successes are more plentiful than the losses, I suppose. Actually, I'm in birdland. You can see here. Hang on this side. Where is it? You see that? It's all, everything is mirrored here. The Birdland Music Studio. That's the sign back there. So this is my wife Bianca's music studio, and I'm grateful to use it. And she's getting really busy. She has lots of projects on the go now. And if you'd like to look at her website, it's birdlandmusicstudio.ie. And we were donated a lovely painting by a local artist. Look at this, Graham. Take a look at that. Isn't that just marvelous? And you wouldn't believe it. I'm not sure whether Graham actually knew this, but our mascot here in the studio is actually this fella. So, and we've had this fella. Look at this. It is strikingly similar. Is that the same type of bird? I know it's nothing got to do with gardening, but I just want to show you guys some of the things to do with the studio as well, because it's all part of our life. We have more than one business. We have two businesses, and the studio is certainly something worth mentioning. Now, let me see here. Again, if you guys have any questions, please let me know. Type it into the comments. Anything to do with gardening, plants, propagation, chicken keeping, home brewing, computers, although I would prefer not to answer computer questions because I just finally gave up on my IT career, which lasted for over 20 years, if you want to call it a career. But nevertheless, it helped me quite a lot, and the skills are very useful when you want to start a business. Of course, you can't really have a business nowadays without having a website and all the social media. And of course, videos help a lot, as some of you will know. Now, let me see here. Okay, so somebody here commented that the fall garden, so that's a garden, for those of you in Europe, of course, we use the word autumn, so it'd be like a garden that grows into the winter. So this person here actually said that they are growing Siberian kale. We like to grow, there's the white Siberian kale, but also the red Russian kale. We found red Russian kale to be tremendously useful in Ireland anyway, because we are in zone 9A or something like that. We don't get very many frosts, maybe for a couple of weeks, a year. We get a good old frost, but other than that, it's quite mild here, and the summers don't get very hot either. And the red Russian kale actually grows at temperatures above 4 degrees Celsius. I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit if you're based in America, but the seeds will germinate at 12 degrees Celsius. So it's extremely low temperatures, and therefore that kale can actually be very productive over the winter months. Same as garlic, it'll grow through the winter. So, but in general, the leaf quality is pretty good. The leaves stay pretty much intact over the winter, but the Taunton Dean is better. So we've tried Portuguese kale, which is also known as walking stick kale, because you can grow it really, really tall, like something like 2-3 meters tall, or 8 or 9 feet tall. And you can use the wood as long as you let it go woody. And if it's old enough, it's a 1-year-old plant, I'd say. It will it can be used as a walking stick. They're not that hardy though, we found in Ireland. So they usually kind of get very lanky after 2 or 3 years. So we grow Taunton Dean kale and Dobbington kale now. So those are our main ones. And because you can just grow them from cuttings, they never go to seed. So we just take cuttings and stick them in the ground, and they grow very easily. Portuguese kale it does actually go to seed sometimes, some years, and other years it doesn't. So you never know, but we have seeds actually for it, and we like to give anyone a free packet of seed that we meet, either at events where we're speaking in public, or we're given a workshop, for example, or seed and plant swaps. Of course, we have lots of seeds, especially ones that are saved in our own gardens, and we do have seed saving workshop, or a 1-day course coming up next month. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to our, it's of course only available to people that can come here, so it would be hosted in our gardens, and we will teach you all about that. You can take a look at this website, our events page, for those of you on the audio only, gardensforlife.ie/events. And so a lot of the kale varieties now, the reason why we grow kale in the first place, some of you might ask yourself, why is he always talking about kale? Sure, that's cow food. Well, actually, there is 100 different varieties, at least 100 different varieties. We have tried about 10 varieties of kale, and all of them are better than cabbage, because you can pick the leaves before the entire plant has to, you don't have to wait for the entire plant to mature like a cabbage. So also a cabbage takes up an awful lot of space, whereas kale, you can probably have about 9 plants in the same space, but they can grow quite big as well. Let me see here. Yes, so at minus 14, I can imagine. I'm actually from there myself, not too far from where you live, I believe. I'm actually from near Cologne or Frankfurt. And but here in Ireland, the weather is really mild, and we just kale is pretty much a go-to green source of greens in the winter time. Our winters are about 6 months long. For those of you living in Ireland, you will know all about it. It's not particularly cold, but it still feels freezing because it's always wet and windy. So essentially, we are looking to make the most of the growing season and simply grow what we can, and especially keep vegetables in the garden for the winter, and we store them fresh. If you store your food alive, you don't have to preserve it. So you don't have to go freezing your greens. You don't have to blanch them. You don't have to do any of that. You just keep them out there and eat them fresh as you need them. And you can harvest them almost every day. So we have almost enough kale now to last us through the winter, harvesting a little bit every day. So we often give our rabbits and chickens some of it. And we like to feed our chickens greens, because giving them only layers pellets wouldn't be fair on them. I mean, only eating grain isn't really a species appropriate diet. So, but they absolutely love the greens and they eat them straight away. And of course, our egg quality is gone so far up that we don't even know what it's like to eat an egg from the shop. We heard reports from people who have chickens themselves, and they say that the eggs from the shops are not great. Which comes not as a surprise to me, of course. Let me see now. So please let me know, guys, if you have any questions at all. And I will try to answer those for you. We are going to do a giveaway a little bit later on. And let me see here. We are giving away a 50 euro voucher for our online shop. This is our online shop, for those of you who haven't looked at it yet. So if you have just joined, we haven't done the draw yet. So it's just a free draw, and kind of like a raffle, but you don't need a ticket. You simply type the word enter in all capital letters into the chat if you want to enter it throughout this live chat. And I will be randomly picking a winner using a random number generator. Let me see here. So just type the word enter into the chat if you want to enter the free draw for a 50 euro voucher for our online shop. Now, this time of year now, we're actually very busy just trying to fill in all the spaces in the garden that haven't got anything planted in them yet. But most of the gardens, out of about an acre and a half of gardens, nearly coming up to 2 acres, we have 90% of it is actually already full from plants from the years previous. And they're all perennials, and most of them are either woody plants like berry bushes, or they could be Jerusalem artichokes and other tubers. They can also be trees, like fruit trees, and standings of all kinds of different wildflowers, for example. We grow wildflowers intentionally and use them, plant them. We start them from seed or from cuttings, and we plant those in between our vegetable patches just to attract beneficial insects, like predatory insects, like the ladybird, for example. And those come in, they're attracted by the flowers and the nectar in the flowers. When you feed them, they hang around usually, and then they hopefully take care of your neighboring plants that you have grown there, and hopefully they'll prevent any kind of a pest outbreak. And you can be assured that we have not needed to spray anything in the garden at all. People often ask us, are you organic, because they know that our motto is work with nature or gardens for life. And I say to them, we don't even spray what organic growers are allowed to spray. So whether it's a natural remedy or for something, I'm not against spraying natural remedies on your plants or pest deterrents, but I think it's just an unnecessary step of micromanagement in the ecosystem. I think you should try to think, well, actually, I don't want to tell you anything. I don't want to tell you what to think at all. I just tell you what we did and what works for us. So in my opinion, it's much better to think long-term and just plant some perennial insectaries. And those are basically plants that flower for a very long period of time and they attract beneficial insects to your garden. When you feed the insects, they usually hang around. If you can feed them enough, if you provide enough biodiversity and enough flowering plants to provide them food for the entire growing season, well, then you can simply try and create a habitat for them so that they hopefully will overwinter in your garden. And if you can get the insects to overwinter, that's the other half of the battle. So if you can feed the insects, attract them into your garden in the first place, and you can and you can get them to stay, like provide them with a place to live or overwinter to go and hibernate, insect piles are ideal. Insect hotels are okay, but they're a bit of maintenance and they are an artificial environment. So they will go rotten eventually, we found, with the wood, of course. But we simply have a combination between compost piles, which we don't have any of, and insect hotels. So we combined compost piles and insect hotels into something we called insect piles. So all that is, it's not a fancy name, but all it is every 10 meters or so in our garden, we simply have an insect pile where we just throw all of the brush from the garden. And by the way, all of the dry materials we do not harvest or we do not remove from the gardens before the winter or during the winter. Michael Pilarski once said you are much better off to simply keep those in the garden and to leave them there for the insects both to live in, but also for protection from the frost. Just give the garden a little bit of protection. But as you build your garden over the years, you build up these insect piles. And in springtime, we pull up all that woody debris and we might plant some more or make some space for new growth. And usually in the beginning of the growing season, I'm kind of trying to pull all the weeds before they start growing or before they get out of hand. And I'd like to try and catch them before they go to seed in midsummer. So this year I've done a pretty good job at keeping the gardens weed free. There is plenty of weeds around. However, the ones that are about to go to seed are the ones you need to take care of first. Because as they say, 1 year's weeding is 7 years seeding. No, the other way around. 1 year's seeding is 7 years weeding. And they're not wrong about that. People back then, they had a fair all idea of what's happening. So again, it's a free draw. So anyone can enter. And you can get a voucher for €50 for our online shop. For this online shop. For those of you on the audio only, it's gardensforlife.ie/shop. And if you are watching this afterwards, after it's gone live, if you're joining while we are live, you can enter it. But if you're watching this on the website or on the YouTube or Odyssey channel later, after the live show is over, you can still come back next week. So we usually do these shows on a Thursday evening. For those of you who just joined, we are doing it today on a Friday. This week, we're doing it on a Friday. Because yesterday we had a speaking engagement at a gardening club in Northern County Roscommon in Ireland. And it was actually really nice. And maybe we'll see one or two of those people that we met there here on this live chat. You never know. Now, please let me know if you have any questions about gardening, plants, homesteading, forest gardening. Some of the people I would recommend looking up are Michael Pilarski, if you'd like to know more about forest gardening and growing medicinal herbs. He grows them commercially, and he also grows food in between as well. so like regular old vegetables. But Michael Pilarski's techniques are really interesting. For example, he does actually do a mix of like minerals, even green sand and volcanic rock dust and seaweed dust and all kinds of different natural fertilizers. And he mixes it up and puts a little handful, just a little handful, under each seedling where he plants them, rather than spreading it, broadcasting it everywhere in the garden, like we always used to do. But I know that the eventually the rain will wash it down anyway, and the soil life is going to make it available to the plants. The soil life is very good at that. And but most of the minerals and most of the nutrients are water soluble, so they can run off. But if the soil is unable to hold the water, it's not going to stay there. Those minerals and the nitrogen is not going to stay there for long enough. If it runs off, if the water basically just runs off and away from your garden. So that's why you need a good soil, of course. Compost helps. The only way to hold water is actually organic matter. In reality, that's what you have to do. Jeez, I go awful dry. Talking nonstop. And it's kind of hard to keep talking nonstop. But I'd like to involve other people in this and actually interview them. Or just have a chat, basically, with people from around Ireland. Maybe people who have interesting gardens, like market gardeners would be some of those people, and maybe homesteaders. Basically, people who grow most of what they consume. Now, let me see here if we have any questions. Barbara, the answer is yes. We also have an eBay shop as well, and which was specifically set up for the UK, actually, at the time. But that was a long time ago. We have a question here. What are your top 10 perennials for what they for the amount they produce? Well, that's a good question. It depends on what kind of perennials we're talking about. So plants produce different things. Let me just get rid of that banner real quick. Plants produce different things, so they are useful in many ways. You could have a plant that produces food or medicine or materials, like building materials, or even plants like Jerusalem artichokes are ideal for insect to house insects. Like the stalks are ideal for insect piles, so I grow them for that. But that's just one of many advantages. So also insectary plants that benefit insects, especially pollinators. So in permaculture, if you're thinking about permaculture, you kind of think you'll be already switched on to the idea of using multifunctional plants. So you can have plants that produce something of value for you, the gardener, but also for the local ecosystem. And by local, I mean even within your garden or within the greater area that is around your garden, within a few hundred meters, you can have, of course, flowers always, most flowers anyway, are very good to attract beneficial insects. But so some of my favorite plants in the garden, I'd probably go with kale. It'd be one of them that I wouldn't like to do without because it's tremendously useful, both as animal feed and human feed. And Jerusalem artichokes are really good. They're really good go-to food source in the winter time. You can harvest those anytime during the winter months between November and April. So Jerusalem artichokes are not from Jerusalem, and they're not artichokes. They're actually more like tuberous sunflower. So in America, they call them, in North America, they call them sunchokes, and that's where they actually come from. And what else are we growing? So we grow a number of different other plants. Lemon balm is great. We have 16 varieties of mint, but mint is not that essential, I guess. Definitely echinacea, valerian, feverfew. Again, lemon balm is an important one, but those are mostly just nice flowers. They are ornamental, but also beneficial to you in many ways and the insects as well. So we are growing a number of tuberous plants as well, like yacon. Yacon is, some people call it yacon. I don't know why. Ben Falk calls it that, and he's based in Vermont. The yacon is a tuberous vegetable, and it is actually a giant daisy. The flowers look like a giant daisy anyway. And you can eat the tubers in the winter time, and they're really nice to eat. They have a bit of inulin in them, and you can cure them for 2 or 3 days, and then that makes them a little bit sweeter. They have a lot less inulin in them than the Jerusalem artichoke does. And what other plants are we growing? Mashua is good. It's a tuberous nasturtium. The flowers are really nice to eat. They are available in November, usually, here where we are based. They're very late in the season, they flower, but the leaves are also really nice to eat. They're more like a leafy green, and you can harvest those just like nasturtium leaves, but they're not spicy. So they're actually, they make for quite a nice addition to a salad as well. So, you know, we have probably a couple of hundred different plants in the gardens. Horseradish is great. It's super reliable and it's very useful. I'm just thinking, oh, comfrey is definitely one. We are using the famous variety called Bakken 14, and that's because it has sterile seeds, so it doesn't spread too bad. It doesn't spread at all, actually. And Bakken, or the comfrey, is useful, again, to make salves and balms and creams. And you can also use it as a liquid fertilizer. So you simply chop the leaves, put them into water, like a barrel or maybe a bucket. And you can just stir it once a day. After a few days or a week, you can take those leaves or take the water, filter out the leaves, take the water to water your plants. Same as a nettle tea. So that's called compost tea, if you want to look that up. We also heard of people using comfrey under fruit trees, and they just do chop and drop. They just cut the leaves. They wait until the plants are well established, and then twice, maybe 3 times a year during the growing season, you can just chop all of the comfrey down to the ground and leave the leaves in situ, and those will actually get eaten up by the soil life eventually after a while, and the nutrients are made available to the fruit tree. Because most fruit trees have very shallow roots, like apple trees, for example, and comfrey has a deep taproot. So they're able to get deep down in the soil and pick up minerals, which is also why it's known as a mineral accumulator. We see here, so we have a question here. So Richard is asking, last week I was talking about mushroom compost. Yes, you can get it in bulk, and I'm happy to give you the name of the supplier, but there isn't really a company that does it. It's usually somebody who delivers the compost, who picks it up at the mushroom farm. You can get it yourself. It depends on where you're based, Richard. If you're based in the Midlands of Ireland, then you can get it from Walsh mushroom farms in Walderstown in County Westmeath. So it's Walderstown, County Westmeath, and you'll find the mushroom farm there. Ger and Kevin, they own the mushroom farm. They're the family there. Oh, I see. You're based in England. Okay. So what you have to do is you have to find a local mushroom farm as local to you as possible so that the transport costs are lower. And usually you'd pay somewhere around €25 for a car trailer load if you pick it up yourself, or a big trailer could be €50, maybe more. It depends on where you are and how popular the mushroom compost is, but in Ireland anyway, most mushroom farms are just discarding it. They can't keep it and they can't use it anymore, so they have to get rid of it, and they're happy enough to see it gone to someone that uses it. They'll take a little bit of money for it, very little. So we usually pay about £50 for the load, a big load, but the transport is about 150 for a truck to come here. So the truck could be driving maybe for maybe an hour or something like that. And Wexford, okay. Nice, congratulations. You'll be very welcome to Ireland when you come here, especially if you're into gardening, of course. If you have any questions at all, you can always email us directly as well. It's just contact@gardensforlife.ie. You're very welcome to ask whatever questions you have there too. And if it's a question that I can use in public, of course, I will not reveal any details, but if it's something that you'd like to ask in public as well, if you can't make the questions and answers sessions, these live chats, for example, next Thursday, every Thursday evening at 9 p.m., we have these live chats. And if you can make it, and but you still have a question and you'd like to watch it afterwards or even listen to the audio after, just email the question in. So my email address is right here. I'm definitely available. So let me see here. So again, if you guys have any questions, please let me know. And we'll do our draw now shortly. And if you want to enter the draw, please just type the word enter in all capital letters into the chat or into the comments. I believe I'll see it there too, because I get comments on the chat and on various platforms. We're broadcasting to 4 different places at the moment. Facebook, 2 YouTube channels, our Birdland Homestead channel as well, and Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter. Let me see here. The draw is free, so please feel welcome to enter. And you can be in for a chance to win a 50 euro voucher for our online shop. And we'll do these every Thursday. So be sure to be there and have some questions ready for me, if you don't mind, because that helps me understand what people are looking for. And hopefully I can even base my decisions on what kind of videos to make in the near future on that as well. So the more feedback I get from people, the better. And it definitely helps me to go to speaking engagements where I get to talk to people. And they are never short of questions at those, especially when you're talking to people in person. And enthusiastic gardeners like to ask a lot of questions, and that's good. And I'm no guru in gardening or anything like that. I don't claim to be a specialist or an expert at anything. But we have some results. We've been doing a lot of different things, and we've been experimenting quite a bit in the last 10 and more years. I've been doing gardening for over 20 years, but I did grow up in a lovely garden secluded in a village, actually, in Germany. And we had all of the different fruit trees, like apples, pears, plums, hazels, and we had walnuts as well. And I grew up with a very seasonal garden. So every year I was looking forward to, as I was growing up, I was looking forward to going out into the garden and harvesting different crops and eating them, basically, especially red currants. The black currants we had were no good. The kind of black currants we have nowadays are much, much better. We have our own variety of black currant now. It's called Birdland black currants, and they are very good. They're bigger than a regular black currant, and they're about the same size as a Jostaberry, but they're way sweeter, and they ripen more, and they produce way more because they're not a hybrid. Like Jostaberry is. So let me see here. So the question here, is there a lot of red tape involved in starting chickens in Ireland, or is it relatively straightforward? There is nothing to it. The Department of Making You Sad will happily take your application if you like to register, if you choose to do so. It is very easy to do. You can keep your chickens using an electric fence and a chicken coop, and you can even use them to do a bit of tractoring, as in get them to do some of the work for you, like the weeding, scratching, eating the weeds and scratching them up, and then fertilizing the ground. So that's what we've been doing with our chickens. But keeping chickens is the way to go. And we are always encouraging people to get chickens of their own and produce their own eggs, because then you don't have to buy them in the shop. They'd be a lot cheaper. And they're not free. They're not free. The chickens cost money when you buy them. And for those of you who haven't had chickens yet and you're maybe considering them, we do have some videos about chicken keeping on our YouTube channel and on our website. So the eggs are not free, but the first egg that you get out of a chicken that you bought, let's say at Point de Lay, will be the most expensive egg. But after that, it's almost free. So because the only thing you have to pay for is the feed costs. And if you can grow some of your own feed, then like kale, for example, they absolutely love that. And they definitely should be given the choice to eat some greens as well every single day, because that's what they're what they've evolved to eat. Greens, not grains, and probably insects as well, because they come from the jungle in China, and they've been cultivated for how long? Does anyone know here? I think it's 8,000 years, something like the quail, same as the quail. But I imagine that chickens used to be a lot smaller when before they had been domesticated. Well, let me see here. There's another question here. I'm trying to build a permaculture community in my area. What helped you most to meet and connect with like-minded people? I'm in a rural setting, right in the middle of Germany. Okay, well, hang on a second. Oh, I've got to keep drinking water, or maybe beer, because it's Friday. It's an unusual time for me to be actually on this live chat, because normally we do these on Thursdays, for those of you who just joined. So permaculture is great, but I think you should probably start going with a more general term, because a lot of people don't know the term permaculture, or maybe they have the wrong impression of it. So let's say, for example, just one example from America, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one of the things one of the lads said was, if you are going to start a business, let's say you want to start a business like permaculture landscaping, or you want to install food forests, for example, what you should probably do instead is just call it edible landscaping instead. So you got to use a different term that is more mainstream, that more people know, and that has not been alienated yet. So a lot of terms, a lot of words nowadays have been ridiculed a little bit, and permaculture is certainly one of those words. I would suggest maybe starting some kind of a gardening club, but with a focus on edibles, as in like growing vegetables and fruit, and maybe even other useful plants. You could say something like that. So we've been trying to build a community here in Ireland for years now. And there is a lot of people. There is an awful lot of people all over Ireland that are doing phenomenal work. And they're quietly gardening away. And you wouldn't know how many people are actually involved in growing their own food. It's actually really encouraging to me, the more people that I find out about. And we like to host something called a seed and plant swap once a year, or actually twice a year now. And it's just an event, it's free of entry, and people can come and bring their surplus seeds or cuttings or plants. And I think you could do that in Germany. There is probably some seed and plant swaps in your area already. And usually they do them during the earlier in the growing season, probably between January and May, you want to have those kind of events. But you could also do a harvest, some kind of a harvest festival, or like a harvest swap event in September or October, which would be ideal, especially when the pumpkins are ready. You can, let me see here. But definitely look up our videos on seed swap, seed and plant swaps. So just type the word swap into our YouTube channel or website, and you'll get some ideas. Oh, geez, I have a cramp. You get some ideas on how to host those kind of events. And if you have any questions, let me know. Just send me an email. I think hosting those kind of events makes the entry very the barrier to of entry very low, so people can come along. You don't have to have seeds or plants to come to the swap, and you can have a little raffle maybe to pay for the event. That's one way to deal with it, just to pay for the venue basically. And any seeds left over afterwards, and which there is not many of at our events, you can just bring the next time to the next event. So yeah, so you, somebody here is saying keeping chickens are the biggest problem with keeping chickens are raccoons, foxes, martyrs, buzzards. Everything eats chickens. Yeah, even they are pretty good now. They're pretty good. Other animals have figured that out too. I would say you have layers of security. You have a chicken coop that is closed at night. You have electric fence, a wire mesh fence, usually 1.20 meters tall or 4 feet. And you have, so it's also known as a poultry fence or poultry netting. And you can also have another fence around your property to keep dogs in. And if you have dogs, they won't go near the electric fence, so they won't eat your chickens, but they will keep any other animals out as well. So especially they're a little bit like livestock guardian dogs if you just give them access to your land at all times. And especially if they hear commotion, they will rush to the chickens and help them. So let me see here. Definitely hosting a workshop at your place would be a really good idea. But building a bit of a following would be a good idea as well. So if you are kind of a public person, you could make some videos. You could maybe make a YouTube channel or some kind of a page for people to go to, even if it's just a Facebook page, even though I'm not sure how many people are still over there. If you don't like Facebook, I can understand, but you can probably find people in your local area if you go to some of the local gardening clubs and tell them about your project. And if they'd like to help, volunteer, come to your event on a certain day to volunteer, and maybe you'll be able to teach them something, and they can help you in return. So that's what we usually do. And you can also provide like a bit of food or something as well. All right, folks. So let me see here. We might as well finish up now. So I know we usually are on a Thursday. A lot of people, it may not have suited on a Friday today, but next week we'll be back on Thursday night, so definitely pencil that in. And it is 9 p.m. Usually every Thursday, unless something else comes up, I'll let you know in advance, and we'll have it scheduled for a little bit later, maybe a day or two later, if it's not on the Thursday. So don't worry, you won't miss it. But it is going to be at 9 p.m. GMT or Irish time, Dublin time. Now, we are going to run the draw now. So let me just give you one last chance. Anyone that hasn't entered yet, we're going to do a 50 euro voucher. We're going to give away for free. You can enter for free. Just type in the word enter in all capital letters in the chat on the live feed. And if you're watching this afterwards and you're disappointed you can't enter, just come back and join us next week. And we will happily have you enter then, and you get in for a chance to win it. We'll do this every week for a while anyway. So this is for our online shop. So it's a 50 euro voucher, and it's free to enter. So please make sure that you do if you want to win. We ship basically anywhere in Europe. We no longer ship to the US. I'm sorry, but we have lost too many packets. And pretty much half of them get lost. So if you're based in Europe, you can get things shipped here. and we do a lot of plants and cuttings and tubers, perennial vegetable starts and that kind of thing. We also do events. So this is our online shop, gardensforlife.ie/shop. And we also have an events page as well, /events. And we also have an online course available for those of you in other parts of the world. So you can use that voucher for that as well. So we have a no-dig gardening course on our online shop. And you can, once you buy it, you have access to it indefinitely. And we are going to also update that as we go as well. So again, if you're based outside of the EU, you can still enter and get the no-dig gardening course for free on our website. So why not? Now, let's run our random number generator. No, I'm sorry, I clicked on something here. All right. And the winner is Richard Teflin. Congratulations. Did I pronounce your name correctly? I hope I did. Richard, please send me an email with your details to contact@gardensforlife.ie. Please send it to me directly after the show. Congratulations. You have won a €50 voucher for our online shop. And hopefully you'll be able to get some starts there for your new property as well. So congratulations, and all the rest of you guys, hard luck, but you have another chance next week. And please do return on Thursday, and maybe you'll come up with some questions for me until then. Thank you very much for being here with me, and we will see you next week. And in the meantime, you can check out our website and our YouTube and Odyssey channel. We are on Rumble as well, but unfortunately, it is not auto-syncing. So we are working on that. We will see you the next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.